This is Philadelphia, WCAU.
Hello, this is Alan Scott with the 7-7 edition. If you can manage it conveniently, I'd like you to put aside anything else that might be sharing your attention at the moment. I'm going to attempt something tonight which has not, to my knowledge, ever been done in radio before. I ask your whole attention because I'm a little apprehensive, naturally. The adventure of pioneering is not without its hazards, but when the end is important and much desired, you don't mind so much the possibility of meeting with failure. I feel somehow that if you stay with me and give me the encouragement of your presence, I can find the strength and the hope that I need. You've seen in the papers today an account and pictures of the 5-week-old baby boy who was left last night on the steps of a house on South 21st Street. It's my hope tonight that I may be speaking to the mother of that child. That hope is nourished by the fact that this station has broadcast brief announcements through the afternoon, calling attention to this program. It's quite possible that the unidentified mother of that child has heard one of those announcements and is listening now. If that's so, you can understand the delicacy of this effort and know the weight of responsibility which is mine in searching for the right thing to say and wanting so much to say it in just the right way. I hope I may prove equal to the task. Your sympathetic ear will help, I know. Let me begin, then, by telling you how the infant was discovered. I know of no more direct instrument to that end than to have you meet the young couple whose curiosity was arrested by the sound of the baby's cries last night, Mr. and Mrs. Morton Lawrence. Morton Lawrence, as you know, is one of the staff of WCAU broadcasters, and we're fortunate in having him here to give us a first-hand account of the incident. Mort?
Well, Alan, Rosalie and I had started from our apartment on Spruce Street to visit some friends. This was about 8:30, and according to reports, which we've checked since, the temperature at that time was about 20 degrees.
As a matter of fact, Mort, if you remember, we were talking about how cold it was just as we turned the corner into 21st Street.
That's right. We continued on our way, heads bent against the wind, and it was terrific. And as we approached a darkened house in the middle of the block, we heard a faint cry. Well, we thought at first that it might have been a kitten, so we walked on. Then when we heard it cry again, well, it was Rosalie who insisted that we stop.
I wasn't sure either that it was a baby, but the thought that it might have been was so shocking that I thought we'd better stop and investigate.
So I walked up the steps and peered into the darkened vestibule, and there on the stone floor, right up against the wall, was a bundle, crying. Well, we lost no time in going into action, and the first thing we did, naturally, was to ring the doorbell.
We didn't let ourselves think about it at the time, but I'm sure it was in both of our minds that the house being dark as it was, the baby must have been abandoned. But we tried to hope that it was something else.
Was your ring answered promptly?
Well, that's just it, Alan. We waited for what seemed hours to us, but it was probably not more than a few moments before a Mr. Sharkey, who occupies the apartment on an upper floor, came down.
We were relieved to find someone we could talk to about it. The baby stopped crying as soon as he was picked up. He seemed to sense somehow everything was all right.
And Mr. Sharkey was at a loss what to do, too. He graciously invited us in and called his mother, and then for a time all four of us were helpless and just stood around. Then it came to us that the obvious thing to do was to get in touch with the police. They would at least know if a baby had been reported missing.
About 10 minutes later, the officers arrived, and we left the matter in their hands. I think it was when the officer took the child in his arms that the shock of tragedy really hit us. He said he didn't quite know how to hold the baby, and although no one said a word, we were all thinking with sadness that perhaps an hour before, the infant had been in his mother's arms. She must have known how to hold him.
Officer McGonigal is here with us, too, tonight. We can have the rest of the story from him.
Last evening at 9 p.m., we received a call from 230 South 21st Street, which Officer Green and myself responded to. We there received a baby boy 5 weeks old. We'd taken him to the Pennsylvania Hospital, where he was bathed, examined, and fed. We then taken him to the Welfare Society at 1733 Vine Street, which there he's now cared for.
It's a little unusual in the way of duty for you, isn't it, officer? How do you feel about it?
We officers only want one thing. We want to find a mother, if we can, and we hope she'll reconsider.
Thank you, Officer McGonigal. You've said just what I want to say. This broadcast is dedicated to one purpose, to reach, if we can, the heart of the mother in the hope that she might reconsider. It's a tall gamble, but think of the rich reward we shall have if we hit that one chance in 10,000, if we succeed in reaching the mother and helping her in quiet confidence to effect the happy reunion. I confess I had another objective in bringing Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence and Officer McGonigal to the microphone tonight. If the mother of that child is listening, and I know with what anguish in her heart. She'll want to know, above all else, that the little fellow is well and that he suffered no ill effects from the cold. And the officer assures me that that's so. No mother's heart could be indifferent to that. And if we succeed in nothing more than that, just getting that reassurance to her, it shall have been enough. But I can't somehow stifle the hope somewhere way down deep inside that we might be able to accomplish something more. The Lawrences tell me that the realization of the full tragic impact of the affair came to them only today. Their emotions were paralyzed with the drama of it last night. Only today do they grasp the significance of it. I suspect that it may be so with a mother. That's the slender hope on which I count. I know that the mother of that child didn't arrive lightly at that terrible decision. But it sometimes follows that decisions with which we've wrestled in bitterness and despair are regretted so soon after they're executed. I address myself in all sincerity to you, the mother. I want to ask you to trust me. Know that if you'll communicate with me, no one need ever know who you are. I offer in testimony the fact that through the years it's been my privilege now and again to enjoy and to honor a confidence. You can count on me, absolutely. And I stress that only because I know that you want, in the chaos of your present anxiety, nothing so much as reassurance. Please believe me. I've talked with police officials, and I have their assurance that they want nothing so much as to find you and to get you to reconsider. I feel sure that they'll not make it necessary for you to appear anywhere or to negotiate with anyone save me. And you can do that in whatever way you will. Can't you see that what we want is to make it easy for you, in the hope that you'll want to undo what you did last night and what might seem irrevocable unless it is made easy for you? I'll leave it at that, then. It's not for me, certainly, to attempt to dissuade you from your decision. It's just that you may, quite on your own, be tortured now by regret. And if that's so, let me help. It'll be a privilege. And just one thing more. Maybe your problem seemed beyond solution because you were fighting it alone. Maybe we can help you find a solution. I say we because you're no longer alone. The desperation which drove you last night hasn't failed to touch those of us who have some measure of that desperation. No, you're no longer fighting this alone. If you can take strength from that, do. I'll wait for your call.
This is Philadelphia, WCAU.